They had slapped each other on the back the day they'd discovered that juxtaposed patches of contrasting color could show the movement of sunlit water. What he would give for another day like that one, for that thrill of breaking new ground. Repeating safe, easy methods, portrait after portrait, as he'd been doing lately, was suffocating him. In the distance, a catboat sailing toward him looked like the Iris, one of Gustave's boats. He rowed toward it. Yes, it was. He stood up to his full height on the foot platforms, twisted to hail him with his left arm, and lost his balance. The front wheel jerked sideways, and the cycle tipped and crashed onto its side. His right hip and shoulder struck sand and gravel, his hand and elbow in the cast taking the fall, his face taking the bounce. The broken smokestack landed on his left leg. His right leg was trapped under one rear wheel, while the other rear wheel spun with a tick, tick, tick. Boiling water splashed and oil leaked onto his pant leg. He struggled to disentangle himself before getting burned. Jesus Christ! He would destroy himself if he didn't start painting soon. He spit out sand and lay trembling in a cloud of steam, trying to figure out what had happened, and watching the glints of light riding the water. How different the colors from this low angle, the contrast between tips of ripples and valleys between them more pronounced now. A deeper forest green for the furrows, with shifting patches of yellow-green and ochre on the humps, and the silver highlights more transparent than he'd ever seen them. My God, to show that to the world. A throbbing moved up through his legs, hip, shoulder. His right cheek and hand stung. Sand had scoured his palm and left it bloody. He staggered to his feet. Bazile's dear old color box had suffered, too. The corner splintered, one hinge sprung, the other twisted. Tubes and brushes lay scattered in the tall grasses, the canvas face down in a muddy patch. The Iris, with Gustave oblivious at the helm, was only a triangle of white sail downriver. Using his left arm and all his weight, he tried to pull the cycle upright, but it refused to budge. The monster weighed more than he did. The front wheel was bent. He could never steer it now. He turned off the oil burner and opened the steam release valve. The hissing quieted to a gurgle. Below the trademark, Peugeot, he saw the model name, La Vie Moderne, Modern Life, he chortled. That was the subject matter of the new painting movement, as precarious as the steam cycle. He crouched at the river's edge and cupped some water in his left hand to rinse his mouth. A pain shot up his thigh. He splashed his right hand to loosen the grit embedded in his palm. The cool water stung. He crawled through the weeds to gather his brushes and tubes, but couldn't find yellow ochre. If he were well off, or at least stable, he could do without it because he could make it from other colors, but those tubes were almost squeezed flat already. A muttering duck glided between reeds toward a tube of paint. He quacked at it in a tone that said, "Leave it alone." The duck paddled away. The scent of wild roses assailed him. Any other time, the sight of them would have excited him, their petal faces pale pink and cream like women's cheeks, like Jeanne's. At least he'd found his beloved bicycle cap. Now all he needed was to find his way, in painting, in love, in life. He carried brushes in his right hand, and the color box of his dead friend in his left, the lid dangling. He set off limping the 10-minute walk along the wooded strip to the Ile du Chateau. Just north of the railroad bridge, he would come to Maison Fournaise, the boater's guinguette, the riverside restaurant, hotel, and boat rental frequented by painters and writers, where he had thought to try out an idea on the little canvas. Up ahead, Alphonse Fournaise, the barrel-chested son of the owner, hoisted a narrow-prowed one-man canoe off carpenter's sawhorses and over his head